The time being 7 o'clock, we're going to call this meeting of the Minnesota House Health and Human Services Reform Committee to order. I'm Representative Steve Gottwalt, the chairman of the committee. And you can see who the other committee members are who are here this evening. And I'm sure we'll have other people joining us momentarily. I want to welcome all of you to this hearing on this this very important issue. We had a lot of correspondence about this, a lot of interest, a lot of concern from people on both sides of the issue. We felt it was very appropriate to take public testimony on this as a Health and Human Services Committee. So I want to welcome you here. Representative Hosh, welcome. We're going to have a few minutes of presentation from our House research staff on the issue in general. These are nonpartisan House research people, so they're going to present kind of the facts around this issue. And then we're going to take testimony from those who are in favor of unionizing, this unionization effort proposal, and then we're going to take testimony from those who are opposed to that idea. We are going to give equal time. For those who just joined us, we are asking you to please silence any cell phones, and there will be no signs allowed. That's typical House committee rules. So we do that in St. Paul as well as out here. But I sincerely want to thank and welcome all of you for being here tonight. With that, I'm going to invite our House research staff to begin their presentation.
Okay, Mr. Chair and members, I'm going to be just briefly summarizing a memo that looks like this that one of my colleagues in House Research put together a few weeks ago on the topic of the unionization of childcare workers. Anita wasn't able to be at this meeting tonight, so I probably won't really be able to memo. It basically just answers some really basic questions regarding the potential organization of home-based child care providers in Minnesota. It was originally written for a member over the summer who had some specific questions. And then it was kind of modified later on towards the end of the summer when we're asking for information, and so it was kind of modified to just provide basic information for anybody that was interested in the topic. At the time that this was written, and I think this is still the case, we haven't actually seen a detailed proposal or language to do this, so I think if we saw something more detailed or specific or written out, some of the answers to these questions might but anyway, Anita starts off by talking about the Public Employment and Labor Relations Act, which defines what a public employer and a public employee is. Under the current statute, a self-employed home-based child care provider would not be a public employer or a public employee. The memo goes on to talk about the status of home-based child care providers under the Minnesota Child Care Assistance Act. And there is something specific in the child care assistance statute that says that receipt of federal, state, or local funds by a child care provider does not establish an employer-employee relationship between the provider and the county or the state. On page 2 of the memo, Anita goes on to talk a little bit about whether or not the organization of home-based child care providers would fall under the jurisdiction of the State Bureau of Mediation Services, or whether or not it would be covered under the National Labor Relations Act. The memo describes kind of the normal procedure that happens. That the Bureau of Mediation Services goes through when a group of workers is trying to organize, but I think the opinion expressed in the memo is that a private self-employed home-based child care provider would most likely not fall under the jurisdiction of the State Bureau of Mediation Services because the providers are not public employees or employees of any single provider. And then the question over whether home-based child care providers are covered or exempt under the National Labor Relations Act is somewhat open depending on whether they would be classified as independent contractors and how and to what extent their business operates in interstate commerce, which I would guess would be fairly limited. Three of the memo talks a little bit about some potential antitrust issues, talks about the implications of an executive order. I think earlier on in the summer there was a feeling that the governor might issue an executive order on this issue, but I think the governor has publicly said now that he is not planning to do that, so I think the issue of executive orders is a little weird at this point. The memo also discusses some issues surrounding union dues and public child care subsidies and whether or not union dues would be able to be deducted from public child care subsidies, and actually there's a federal law that prohibits that. And I think the rest of the memo just talks about what the unions were saying, at least earlier on in the summer, and then some possible next steps.
Very good. As I pointed out, we're having a little bit of a presentation from our House research staff on this issue. I want to thank again those people who joined us. I want to thank you again for being here this evening, and welcome the committee. Since we're pretty much all here, we're going to be here this evening. Welcome you all to our district here in Way Park. It's good to welcome you here and have the committee hearing in this place, and to have all of you here to testify on this. The next step will be to take testimony from those who've signed up to speak in favor of the unionization proposal. And then once that's concluded, we'll have equal time for those who are opposed to the unionization issue. And so with that, we'll invite our first testifiers forward. Is Kelly Martini in the audience? Kelly, why don't you step up to the podium? Welcome to the committee. And I've got Sally Larson, Melinda Morris, Carlos Skapansky, and Sabrina Becker. If you could just kind of queue up in a line behind the microphone, that would be good. And we can just keep things moving. Kelly, welcome to the committee. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Committee members, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of in-home family child care. I am Kelly Martini, a family child care provider from Avon, Minnesota. I have been a provider for 13 years. I am also an SEIU Kids First member. I am also a member of MLFCCA, NAFCC, and SBCCA. One of the biggest questions out there is, are providers going to raise the fee for the parents? I personally will not. I haven't raised my fees for being members of the MLFCCA or the other things that I've mentioned. It is my personal choice to be in these groups, and it will be my personal choice to be in the union. From my understanding, it will either I will be in the union or not be in the union. Again, that's my choice. I take pride in what I do. 13 years ago, I was considered just a babysitter or a stay-at-home mom. Today, people thank me for what I do. My parents understand that I tend for their children, and they no longer have to worry when they are at work, and they know their child is being well taken care of. Because parents don't have to worry about their children, they can be more productive at work. I am just beginning to be recognized as a central part of my business community, but there is still a long ways to go. Being self-employed and having a husband that's also self-employed, we both have our own small businesses, but yet we have difficult time finding reasonable health or dental insurance. The government says that there are good benefits for small businesses, but yet I think we are both too small and we are not seen in the government eyes because the health insurance we have is crazy expensive and we don't even have dental. Having a union, I hope that would help people like me to have a difficult time finding insurance or even being recognized as a small business owner. We would also have some people down at the Capitol to help us and make sure that the monies are given in our direction. We've dealt with cuts and changes to the USDA food program, diminished funding for early learning grants, and once again, on October 31st, we will endure more cuts to our child care assistance subsidies. That affects us in a huge way. I have a single mom trying to catch up from her debt and move back home with her parents, but yet cannot get any assistance from the county. I do help her out by not charging her on Fridays that the child isn't there. Providers are concerned about families in poverty. Together, providers unionized can have a voice in solving these or other situations like this. It would help benefit the whole community. And I think a union would try to see our points and help us with having a seat at the table. And it would also help some of our parents get some sort of assistance by us providers, knowing that some people really do need some help out there. We providers see a lot. We're small-town people working in a small-town environment. Well, at least I do. It's hard to work a 10-hour day and have a voice. Who's going to listen to us at the Capitol having a 10-and-a-half-hour day? Having a union will mean that the providers will have a legal voice with the state and have a seat at every table. It is important that we work together. Our children depend on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Sally Larson, welcome to the committee.
My name is Sally Larson, and I'm a child care provider in Stearns County. I'm a mother of three. I have a 22-year-old son, 8-year-old twins, and a soon-to-be daughter-in-law in August, so I'm excited. I want to start by saying that no matter whether that we are here to support unionizing or non-unionizing in the state of Minnesota, we cannot lose sight of why we are here, which is for the children. We need to all be on the same page with this and do what is best for them. I do feel that there are a few major misconceptions on how unionizing can benefit our profession. The first being that we are told our associations and licensing workers are the ones we need to look for the voice at the state level for new rules and regulations. Well, I'm a member of the SBCCA, and I love my association, but the board members are providers just like me. And they're busy taking care of the children. They do not have time to watch the court calendar, and neither does my licensing worker, which has a full-time job. And that job does not include sitting at the Capitol watching my back. Her job is to help me provide the best care I can for the children and the families that I serve. She's there to talk to when I have a child-related question and issue, not to take a day off of work and sit at the Capitol to fight for my job-related issues in the courts. This is what my union will do for me. If a child care-related issue comes up in a session, we will be informed and our voices will be heard. Another misconception I would like to clear up is that the union wants to run our businesses. First, we are the union. The union will be made up of child care workers just like you and I. We will set our dues, we will organize our contracts, we will have a voice in all aspects. SEIU will be our backbone and provide us the structure we need to make our union work. They want nothing to do with our hours, our rates, our personal contracts with our parents, and how we run our businesses. We are self-employed, and it will stay that way. I am a provider that takes CCA clients, and I feel as a provider we need to advocate for the children and the families. There is such a big, bad stigma related to CCA, and I believe that this is due to the misunderstanding about what this program is and how it benefits the clients that receive it. Full detail can be read in an article that I was featured in about the state shutdown when it was shut down and it affected a lot of families throughout the state of Minnesota. It was in the news leader, St. Joseph. I meant to bring a copy. I'm sorry, I forgot that. As we providers were not given a voice in the initial decision, and with a voice, this program may not have been deemed non-essential. The initial decision hurt many children, families, and providers across the state of Minnesota. When our voice was finally heard, the damage was already done. And I had four families on CCA during the shutdown, and in one particular family happens to be an Iraqi vet, and he had just come off of duty, and he had returned to us from overseas with severe PTSD. He's no longer able to work or care for his children by himself, which forced his wife into the workforce, who she was an at-home mom with no schooling, so she went into the workforce at just above minimum wage, and then the state shut down. And her choice was to either stay home with the children or let her husband try and watch the children, because she couldn't afford to pay it out of her pocket. She could barely afford their daily living expenses. So her choice was to stay home, and she lost her job. She's still looking for a job. And I had that happen to several of my families that were on CC at the time of the shutdown. So it did affect a lot of families. Without CCA, she would never have been able to put her children in care, because it would have been way too expensive with her husband not being able to care for the children. This is a gentleman who served our country. Shame on us for allowing this to happen. We need to prevent these types of situations from happening in the future. We need to gather together. We need a voice. We need to be heard. And I want to thank you so much for listening to us today. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome. Melinda Morris? Very good. Welcome to the committee.
Hi, I'm Melinda Morris, and I'm a parent who receives child care through the state of Minnesota. And I just want to say, I don't have a lot to say, but I do want to say that without child care providers, a lot of single mothers like myself, we wouldn't have jobs. And we couldn't work because we wouldn't have people to watch our children, as you can see. I'm kind of nervous.
It's okay.
But I'm just here to say that I'm for the union, and I'm pretty sure that if they wanted to form a union, that they would find a way to pay for it out their own pockets without charging us parents for the co-pays or their dues or anything like that. I don't think that they're out to do that. I really don't. I mean, because they provide care for our children. So I don't think that they're just out for extra money or just wanting some, I don't know. But I'm just pretty sure that they're just out to help us take care of our children when we're not there. I mean, I'm just on it. So thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Carla?
Yes.
Skopanski, welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Carla Skopanski, and I've been doing daycare for 11 and a half years. And in that 11 and a half years, I've never raised my rates. In that amount of time, we have seen cost of gas go up. In that 11 years, I've also had dues that we had to pay to get our license. We never had to pay for a license before for doing daycare, and now we do. We have to pay a couple hundred dollars just to have that little piece of paper on our wall. I never raised my rates for that either. Unless you have to budget for certain things in your life. I have four children in my home. My husband is a dairy farmer. I currently pay out of our pocket for our insurance every single month, which is a total of $1,600. He dairy farms, I do daycare. You just got to budget for things that are important to you. I have four children that half of them are high school age, and I do daycare for about 10 families in my care every single day. I get them kids ready for kindergarten. When they get into school, I have teachers who are calling me and asking me, who is in your daycare? I want to know, because I got to separate them so we have role models in each one of our kindergarten classes. My children that come out of my daycare are more prepared for kindergarten than I can say most children that come out of centers. When you talk about the ratio of children to staff, you can't give that one-to-one when you are talking about center situations, because I used to help in centers before I started my daycare. I didn't even know all the children in my centers. They would come in and they would check in, we did an after-school program, and the children would come after school, and there'd be 40-some kids that would come in. They would check in, they'd go out and play, and then they'd come back when the parents come and pick them up. There was no one-to-one time. There wasn't any time to sit down and talk with the kids about what they had for homework or what they had for schoolwork for the day. It's not feasible. By not having a union and having a voice, we're going to have a lot more daycare places like we offer get pushed out of business. We see it already with the farming community. Bigger is better, not when it comes to daycare centers. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Welcome, Sabrina Becker, correct?
Becker,
I'm sorry.
First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for paying attention and being respectful during people's testimony. My name is Sabrina Becker, and I believe that unionizing for child cares would be good for me, my kids, and my provider. My provider is very important to me. First and foremost, she is a professional, she is a teacher, she is a nurse, she is a nutritionist, she is a friend, she is a friend of my children. She supports their growing minds, and she gives awesome support to them and support to me. She helps with techniques for single parents, for married parents also. These providers are with our children more during the day than we are as parents. They teach them most things that they learn. They come home to us, they eat dinner, they go to bed. So these providers, like I said, spend the most of our children's time with them. Children think the world of my provider. They can count on her, and she shows support through their never-ending energy and curiosity of life, as we know children are very curious of life. She has become a part of my family. She is invited to all my holidays. She is invited to all my children's birthday parties. She is always there in support. In tough times, as a parent, she is there. She's there to guide me through problem-solving skills. All providers are the best at problem-solving skills. They deal with children all day long. Can you imagine being in a room with 12 children all day long, sometimes fighting, sometimes screaming, and to them it's joyous sound. Most of us probably could never even imagine having to deal with that many children on a daily basis for years. Most providers here, 20 years. I also thank her every day for the care that she's given to my children over the years. I am a hardworking union member. I work for the judicial branch. I enjoy the benefits of having a voice in my workplace. I also endure the hard work, working collaboratively with my employer to create a contract that benefits all parties. It doesn't side with one party, it doesn't side with the other. We work together to make a contract. There's no screaming involved, there's no swearing involved. We do it peacefully. Being a union member gives me a chance to have that voice, to live better, and to make it possible for me to provide for my family. Providers deserve that same opportunity. They deserve a voice, a chance to live better, and be able to provide for themselves and their families. There's myths out there about parents paying more. My provider didn't raise my fees when gas went up. My provider didn't raise my fees when groceries started costing more. She didn't charge me more when her electric bill went up, when her heat bill went up, when her rent went up, when her mortgage went up. When she has to replace broken toys that our children break, she doesn't raise my costs. There are only affordable child care is in these homes, and they need to stay in business. Daycare centers cost twice as much, and this needs to be the provider's decision. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Franson, did you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. Ms. Becker, can I speak?
I'm sorry, what?
You're a union member?
Yes, I am.
Are you by any chance getting paid to help organize the child care
providers? I am helping organize the child care providers because as a union member, I understand how important this is to them. I spend countless hours above and beyond my pay time to organize these providers because that's how strong I feel about this.
So just to clarify, Ms. Becker, you are getting paid to help organize child care providers?
During the hours of 8 to 4, I am.
Thank you.
Yeah, just for future testifiers, we, as part of the committee process, we go through the committee chair, so that way we can keep things in kind of an orderly process, and the members of the committee have to do the same thing, so it's equal opportunity control along those lines. I will ask a moment if there are any more testifiers for the unionization proposal. We are offering equal time to both sides, about 45 minutes aside. So if there are additional testifiers for who want to step up to the microphone, identify yourself, and speak, you're welcome to do that. That's what this public hearing is about. We have about 20 minutes left. When we've had enough of one side, everybody's done saying what they want to say, then we'll move to the other side of the equation. Please feel free to come up. Representative Murphy.
Chair, I'm just curious about what will happen after the testimony. So we'll have 45 minutes of testimony.
Absolutely. The question for Representative Murphy, for those who couldn't hear, is whether or not, or what would happen at the end of testimony. The answer is the committee members will have an opportunity for some discussion, for question and answer. Committee members might also ask testifiers questions. That's part of our committee process. So thank you for that question.
You're welcome.
Okay, why don't you identify yourself and go ahead.
I'm Spencer Bicknell. My mom is a child care provider.
Can you spell it for us, please, just for
B
the record?
B as in boy, I-C-K-N-E-L-L.
Great, thank you.
I don't have a whole lot to say, just some issues I feel strongly about that didn't get covered. I know my mom, last year she only took a total of like 5 days off because each time she takes a day off, any of her clients that work need to find other care, and a lot of businesses are open on holidays, like Walmart and Target. You get your day off and you expect to be able to go shopping, get your groceries and stuff, but people need to work there. If they can't provide care for their children, they can't go to work. They drop into a center, and I know it was covered earlier that the weekly rate for an infant that the state pays is $117. I remember one day at a center, if it's drop-in care, you don't have a pre-existing contract, it cost over $100. One of my mom's clients had to do that for one day she did close. And I just wanted to say how when my mom had me, she's been in business that long, I don't know how long exactly, but she didn't take, 3 months of maternity leave. She took 3 days off, and then she was back working. That's all I had to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else wishing to testify in favor of? Anybody else wishing to testify in favor of? Seeing no further testimony, please step up to the microphone and identify yourself.
My name is Angelique Newberry.
Can you spell the first name for us?
I sure can. A-N-G-E-L-I-C. Angelique.
And Newberry,
N-E-W-B-E-R-R-Y.
Great, thank you. Please proceed.
I came to my child care provider as a single mother with one child. They do give you advice. They do help you out where centers will not. I went through some difficult times and decided to keep a child. I wasn't sure if I even was going to keep or not. She walked through a lot of heartache with me. She counseled me in a lot of different areas. I'm married now, and I have a child together with my husband, and she's still there for me, even after all these years. My oldest started with her right after she started kindergarten. She's now 18 years old. And my daughter still asks me from time to time, do I see her? What is she up to? What is she doing? The children really, they rely on these daycare providers. I know when my son was in her care for quite a while, he would call her mommy. And the daycare provider said a lot of kids in her child care call her mommy. I did have my son in an infant child care center, and I was not happy with the quality of care he was given. And when one child got something, all of the child got something. He got thrushed 4 or 5 times in 1 year, and I kept bringing my child back to the doctor and saying, okay, what am I not doing right? And my child care or my provider said to me, he goes, do you have your son in a center or in at a home? And I said, I have him in a center. And I said the center's name to my doctor, and my doctor shook his head, and he said, I have seen more kids come in here with health problems because of these centers. They don't have a way of keeping the kids as safe and as healthy as the one-on-one child care, home child care providers do. I went through also finding a huge difference in infant-based fees, and that was, my son is now 10 years old, and just the difference in a fee basis place, the center base, was just huge compared to what people wanted to charge me in a home-based. I have drop-in childcare from time to time for my daughter now, just so she can get interaction with other children her own age, because I'm not at an age to have too many more children myself. And it's nice to be able to have that drop-in feature. And my childcare provider is charging me only $20 for a drop-in, you know, for a whole entire day of childcare. That's just huge. I can't understand, you know, wanting not to help all these daycare providers. A lot of them are families who give their all to the community, to give their all to the churches. You know, they get on programs, they do things, and it's childcare person in their home doesn't just work from 8 to 4. I'm sorry, but they live, breathe, and eat about these children. They think about these children a lot. That's it.
Great. Thank you for your
testimony.
Yes, Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Chair Gottwald. Ms. Newberry, just a quick question. My kids were in childcare when they were young. They're not young anymore. They're in both the center and in a home base. I forget which was more expensive. You alluded to the cost. I think you were suggesting one way or another, but I couldn't quite get which is more expensive than the other.
For me, the cost at the centers was huge. When I put my son into a center-based program, it was almost twice as much as what a regular person wanted. And then I ran into problems when I was trying to get county assistance. The county assistance only paid for half of my child care fees. I took my child out of that center base and I put him in a home, and it took care of like all but $5 a week. So they are hugely more expensive, and they can discriminate. They do discriminate at times against people who are on daycare assistance.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Members, I don't think so. Thank you. Anybody else wishing to testify in favor of the proposal to unionize home daycare providers? We have, what, about 10 minutes?
My name is Terry Vicknell. I'm Spencer's mother.
Okay, very good. Terry.
I have been doing licensed childcare for, this is my 18th year, so yeah, a little bit longer than he's been on the earth. One of my big complaints with not being unionized was when no one was there at the legislature when they decided in July, I believe this was 2 years ago, that we needed to have our CPR, first aid, SIDS, and shaken baby up to date by the end of the year. We didn't find out about it until Halloween weekend. I was completely fortunate because I had my CPR and first aid up to date. All I needed was SIDS and shaken baby, which is an hour and a half of classes instead of 15 hours of classes between Halloween and January 1st. So we need somebody at the table to speak for us, to let us know what's going on, and to help us negotiate these things. Had we known in July, even if they told us in October, if we had been given 6 months to complete it, it would have made a lot easier for a lot of child care providers that I know. And there are other things that are going on now that are being decided down there that we don't have any representation for. The law or ruling, I'm not sure exactly how it's stated, that you must reside in your child care home. Well, I reside in my child care home, but not everyone I know that does child care lives there. And several years ago it was ruled that you didn't have to live there anymore, that you could live next door or live down the street or whatever and then come into your child care and do child care. Well, now they're trying to get it back to where you have to reside in your child care home. I don't understand what the reasoning for that is, and I don't know why they're trying to slide it in. But we need a representation there that's saying, you know, it doesn't work for everybody. And ask questions as to why this ruling is coming about again after years of not making it mandatory. That's my biggest issue. Is I've got to have a voice there. I've got to have people that are coming back and telling me what's going on, because I can't be there. I'm in my home taking care of children morning, noon, and night.
Representative Franson. Ms. Pickner. You want to hold? Okay. You can ask a question. We have time.
Okay, I'll ask them.
Just come back, Ms. Pickner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Childcare Works is not representing childcare providers. They're representing preschools and centers.
No, I've done federal work against Childcare Works, and they represent childcare providers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not exactly sure.
They're not putting out the information to us then.
Representative Francis. That's kind of how it works. Go through the chair, then we recognize. It's a little unusual. I used to sit on a city council, and it was much more freewheeling. So I'm obviously doing this a little differently. But we don't
see that information coming back to us.
Big help.
So I don't know
what information
from Child Care Works, for one thing. And I don't see them putting in my information. Did they ever ask me for my opinion? Who's giving Child Care Works their information so that they can communicate what child care providers have to say about these decisions?
Representative Franz.
Yes. I know how it works. Plenty of times what will happen is that a child care provider will have information, and they can contact their legislator, their representative, or their senator about the information that they have concerns, and that representative or senator will also then in turn get information from possibly lobbyists like Child Care Works or Minnesota Family Child Care Association, and we do go through that way. We talk with the department. So there's plenty of voices at the Capitol if you choose to use that venue.
Ms. Bicknell.
I beg to differ, because I have tried to get a hold of Child Care Works several times to offer my opinions, and they're like, no, we already have enough. We have three or four or whatever. I have tried repeatedly to talk to them.
Representative Francis.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ms. Bicknell, have you actually tried to contact your representative?
Yep.
Ms. Bicknell.
Sorry.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I have.
Well, I'm not here to argue.
Representative Francis.
Yes.
There are voices out there for you.
But I beg to differ as to whether or not these voices are speaking for us.
Duly noted. Representative Murphy.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just want to say that I have some sympathy for your point of view, and there are oftentimes multiple organizations or voices that represent similar interests at the Capitol. And I think what I would argue is that while there are multiple organizations representing different and various perspectives on child care, early childhood education, and preschool and centers, they're not organizations that are representing the perspective that you are seeking. And from my perspective, the more that citizens engage in the process of legislating, the better our outcome is. So I don't think it would be an issue to have more organizations representing the perspectives of child care providers. I think it would be helpful to us as we wrestle with the issues that we're facing in 15 years budget cutting, which is impacting, I think, the future of our children. Thank you.
Okay, other questions? Okay. Ms. Larson, would you like to?
I'm coming back after one thing.
I'm going to ask, just as a matter of protocol, we want to make sure that anybody who hasn't spoken yet for the proposal has a chance to do that before we bring you back for a second go-around. Anybody else wanting to testify in favor? Okay, then we'll go back to you, Ms. Larson.
I just wanted to expand on what Ms. Bicknell was saying. I've been working with children for 22 years, and I came to the Capitol the last time they had a get-together. It was one of the first times I had been there, just a few weeks ago or a month ago. That was the very, very first time I ever heard the abbreviations MLCCA or whatever that is, Minnesota Child Care, MLFCCA. They've never contacted me. I don't even know who they are. I've never heard of them, and they say that they're my Minnesota association. But as a child care worker, I've never heard of them, and I don't even know what that child net thing is that they're talking about. Nobody's ever contacted me, and I have been in Stearns County Social Services for 22 years, and I've done a lot. I'm a guardian ad litem for some children in the court systems. I'm a surrogate parent. I'm a daycare provider, a licensed foster care home. And I'm sorry, but I've never heard of any of those different associations, just to let you know. So I'm out in the country by myself, and I need somebody in the Capitol to watch my back and go for, you know, my rights. I mean, I am one of those homes that I do not reside in my daycare. I have a separate building. I think I'm safe because my building, I own 40 acres, and my building is on my parcel. So I believe that I may be safe as far as this rule that they're citing, you know, deciding to slide in under the Home and Health Welfare Act, that I may be able to stay in my daycare. My families love my daycare. I own a fourplex, and I took the bottom two units, and I gutted it out, and it is an art room, a playroom, a, you know, music room, a huge music room. I have a greeting room, and it's all set up for the kids. I don't live in my daycare. I shut the door, I breathe, I go home, and I come back, and I start again. It's so healthy for me. And I think taking that away from the people that are able and have the capability of doing that outside their home, I think it is just wonderful. I am glad I have the opportunity to do that. And I wouldn't change it. And I hope the state is not going to make me change it, because I really love what I do. And I love my children, and they love my daycare. So I hope that I'm not forced to change that.
Okay, very good. Representative Hosh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I want some clarification for the evening. You mentioned speaking for the proposal. Is there a specific proposal that we're legislatively debating?
Well, Representative Hosh, in answer to your question, not a legislative proposal, but this was brought up by the governor himself, I think you know, rather recently, as something he was proposing to do by executive order. We would like, as a legislature, to have input from the people of Minnesota if this is going to be under consideration. Clearly, I think based on the testimony here today, there is a desire from some people to make this a legislative proposal. So, but to my knowledge, no, there is no bill that has been brought forward proposing this. Representative Posh.
Mr. Chair, I just want clarification. From my understanding, Governor Dayton made it abundantly clear that there would not be an executive order. And when we're discussing things, I just want to make sure, is there a legislative proposal? I haven't been contacted or informed that there has been one, so I'm assuming there isn't. And when I'm asking questions, I want to know, are we working under the assumption under current law? Or are we going to work under the assumption that there's going to be a proposal in front of the legislature? And from my understanding, that has not been proposed and probably will not be. So I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm going to go under the assumption that Ms. Pennelly stated, you know, under current law, which her research brief addressed some of the questions under current law, under federal PELRA, all those types of things, what this means for providers in our community and for my constituents that I represent and my children, which I have two of them in the home-based.
Well, Representative Hosh, I would just point out that, you know, I've probably received more email on this in the last month or two than on almost any other specific issue other than maybe the Viking Stadium. And those are other people wearing purple and gold, by the way. But we don't just hold hearings or discuss legislation that is proposed in a bill form. You know, we often discuss issues that are important in the Health and Human Services arena in a hearing without having a formal legislative proposal before us. So, Representative Kipmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do appreciate the fact of the opportunity to have this hearing, to give both voices an opportunity to be heard on this, because we're not in legislative session right now, and the best venue is a committee hearing where you have kind of that structure, so that is a good thing. But in particular, I would like to know if maybe staff could follow up with this. Usually when somebody is licensed and there is a change to licensing requirements, a notice goes out to that particular person who has been licensed. So I have a concern here about someone who said that they didn't know, or they didn't know themselves, maybe others didn't know. If maybe our staff could check into that, and because that would be usual and normal, if you're licensed, you'd receive a notice of change of condition. So I can't imagine the agency would forego doing that, but if something happened, I mean, things do happen. They may have made their effort, possibly. I'm not quite sure what. But if staff could maybe check on that, I think that would be helpful.
think that would be appropriate.
Unless they know now.
As I recall, I think Ms. Bicknell testified that CPR requirements were not notified until, what, July? I'm sorry, is she here?
The decision was made in July.
If you could come to the microphone. Thank you.
The decision was made in July, but we were not notified until October 31st, Halloween weekend, and we had to have it done by January 1st.
Well, if we could find out, Mr. Chairman, and because normally if those sorts of things happen, there should be a process of notification for you, much more timely than that. So that's why I'm asking staff to check into it, all right?
Appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
Okay. Yes.
And that's already been taken care of. That was like 2 years ago. This requiring that you live in your child care home.
Excuse me, why?
You know when that went through?
Exactly.
So is that in your child care home?
Well, it was a bill that got
taken. Why don't you come to the microphone? As we take testimony here, we want it on the record.
I'm sorry. As far I understand, it was a bill that did not pass, and it got tabled. But what is happening at this point is it is an attachment that is being slipped into another bill, and it's being talked about or it's been tabled. I'm not quite sure, but we don't want it to go through. So please vote it down. But you know what I mean? We just want to make sure we have a voice there to protect us as daycare providers, because I don't want to lose my daycare. You know? So I don't think it's been passed. It was a full bill that got tabled, and then that little part of it that you must reside got slipped in a health and resource bill or something. So I don't know. You'd have to look that up. But
and the only reason we know is because we've been trying to follow some of this stuff through our union, not because we've heard from our representatives or anything. And we are both licensed providers. And we're on the tail end of the knowledge part.
Thank you. Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have a slightly different perspective than Representative Hosh has. I assume that because there's probably 100 or more people in here, that it's an issue that is important to many people. I see a lot of people wearing a similar colored shirt representing a similarity of thought, so I'm assuming that there's some motivation there to do something differently, either legislatively or through the executive branch. I also anticipate hearing from some folks who might not agree with that perspective. So I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm here hearing all of you. I'm glad I'm here hearing the struggles of the home daycare providers. Again, I had two kids in home daycare. I had two kids in a center for a certain period of time. I empathize with your thoughts. My sister-in-law actually took care of our kids for a while, and it provided me with a great sense of comfort knowing that a family member was with my children every day. Having said that, I was with a center not less than a week ago, and I can assure you that a lot of centers have similar struggles. I was looking at, or not looking at, but saw information that suggested that they have trouble getting paid from the public sector. There's a lot of time spent in a public county courthouse, whatever, county facility, to look through paperwork, make sure that everything's okay. I empathize with all of you, both in the center and home providers. You have a lot of issues, and I would welcome questions from my constituents about this, because that's why I'm here to represent my folks, both providers of daycare and also parents. So if you have issues, please talk to one of these people right here. Talk to your own representative. Talk to your senator. That is one way of many ways you can get things done at the Capitol. Thank you for being here.
Representative Posh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Barrett, I hope you know that I do think this is important. Just because I asked this question didn't mean that I didn't think this was important. This is extremely personal to me. I have two children in a home-based setting. My child care is more expensive than my mortgage. What I want to know is what context are we operating under? Because that is what should drive our questions and our understanding of what this means for the providers and the families and our constituents. Not a perceived possibility that hasn't even been proposed in any way, and in which saying the governor's going to issue an executive order is a moot point also, because he said it out of his own mouth that he's not going to issue an executive order. So I want to know what questions I can ask, what context we're operating under, and if something does need to be changed, what that requires of me and my vote, because I may not want anything to change under the current operation. Just because I asked those questions didn't mean that there was any lack of urgency or importance to today's hearing. I applaud Representative Gottwald for having this. I need to learn more. So I wanted to make sure that those questions didn't indicate any sense that this was unimportant.
Well, but let's also be clear, Representative Hosh. The governor, while he said he would not make an executive order, has not rescinded his comment about holding elections for this. We have materials here handed out by many of the proponents here today that clearly say they want to do this. And again, just because we don't have a formal bill before us doesn't mean that this isn't something we should hear or discuss. This clearly has a major impact for people on both sides of the issue or no sides of the issue. Yes, Representative Hosh.
And Mr. Chair, I understand if there were to be an election that under current labor law, both state and federal, that there would be no compulsory membership, that current law does not, you know, recognize a public employee on relationship with a contractor. And that's the perspective that I want to understand. Where are we now? And if there were to be an election, what would have to happen legislatively for it to even be implemented? And I would highly anticipate, I'm not going to assume anything, but highly anticipate nothing would get through the legislature that would really change the way that we already recognize the relationship between private contractors and the state.
Okay, well, that's a valid perspective. We also have testimony in our packets. I just want to remind committee members of that, too. There is written testimony that's been submitted to the committee. It's in your packets. I would encourage you to review it. It will be entered into the record. I had a couple of constituents email me today as well. I'll be sharing that with the committee administrator just so that we have a complete record of that. I think we're at the point, what I'll do is ask if anybody else is interested in testifying in favor of unionization. This is kind of the last call, and then we'll move to the testifiers who are opposed to it. So once again, I'll renew my request for any testifiers speaking in favor of unionization.
Just a question.
We'll have you step to the microphone and identify yourself one more time.
I'm Spencer Wicknow again. I was just wondering if after the process where they speak against, if there's a chance for anyone from the audience to issue questions regarding any points made.
In response to the question, which is, will there be a chance for some back and forth from the audience? We are going to have question and answer from committee members, but under the rules of this public hearing, we're taking testimony for and against. We're going to give equal time to that. We're going to allow some discussion from committee members. They may ask questions of the audience, of testifiers, but we're not going to engage in a debate here tonight. That's not what this is about. It's meant to be an opportunity for us to hear input from both sides of this issue. And I'm going to try to be very fair about that. I hope people understand that.
Thank you.
But thank you for the question. Thank you for the question. Okay, with that, I'm going to invite testifiers in favor of, opposed to unionization of home-based daycare providers. Jody Jakovic. And if you could line up again, much like we did with the previous speakers, A.J. Kern, Cindy Cunningham, Matt Lovitz, Mary, I'm going to butcher your name, I know it here, Kashuk, Anna Prabula, Patty Wilsek, Julie Seidel, Heather Falk, Judy Sanda, Melanie Teschendorf, Holly Seville, and Addie Klein. That's the list that I have. And again, we're offering equal time here. You've got about 45 minutes. Ms. Jakovic, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of this committee. I'd like to thank you for your time and being here today and listening to our concerns. My name is Jody Jakovic, and I have been a licensed provider in Anoka County for over 20 years. I am also a single mom with four kids and a member of my county association, my state association, and also a national association. Part of membership in these associations includes receiving newsletters with updates on what's going on with licensing issues and other legislative issues. My county association has a very good relationship with our county licensing unit, and our county licensing unit also sends out regular newsletters with updates and changes regarding our business. I also receive weekly updates from Child Care Works, which is very easy to get on their email list. And all these organizations, I feel, do a great job at keeping me and other providers updated on what's going on in the child care world. Personally, I don't see how unionizing child care providers is a good thing at all. I'm very concerned about how the union plans to use CCAP payments as a way to collect dues or fair share fees from providers. I believe in other states, they are taking a percentage of the check that's issued to providers from the state before the provider even gets it to cover these fees. I do have families on child care assistance in my home, but I don't want my hard-earned money to go to the union. I don't want them representing me in any way or bargaining for anything on my behalf. I believe I have a real voice of my own. I'm also a little confused about the union claiming to have a majority of support from providers. What I've seen in my county since this last spring, after the unions came around on their door knocking campaign, I have personally talked to over 100 providers in Anoka County, either by phone or face-to-face, and I've only come across one who actually said that she supported the union. I had some other providers helping make phone calls in my county too, to providers, and they reported pretty much the same results, that there were very few that said that they actually did support the union. Back on June 20th, SEIU held a meeting in Anoka County. They sent out some letters to providers and also an email, some through the mail, U.S. mail, and some via email, inviting providers to come to a meeting, and in their letter it stated that this meeting will be a chance to ask questions and learn more about what's next in building a strong, effective union of child care providers. That was one of them. The other one said, join other family child care providers from Anoka County for a regional meeting. This meeting is a great opportunity to ask questions, connect with other providers, and get involved in building a strong, effective union of providers. Well, myself, along with several other providers from Anoka County, went to this meeting, and we were not allowed to attend. We felt that we were there to get more information, but they told us that unless we agreed to sign a statement saying that we were definitely in support of the union, that we were not allowed into the meeting room. And therefore, there were actually only four providers who were allowed into this meeting. And there was about a dozen of us who were not allowed in at all. And Anoka County, at that point, had 690 licensed providers. Only four of them were at this meeting. So that makes me wonder where this majority of support is coming from. And that, like I said before, that is one of my big concerns, because I just don't see it, at least in my county.
Ms. Jakubik, in order to give everybody a seat lined up here enough time in the time allowed, we're going to need to limit this to a couple
of minutes. And that's all I have. I did have copies of the letter in case
you
want.
That would be fine if you want to submit that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Kern, welcome to the committee.
Hi. Thanks for allowing me. I'm A.J. Kern, co-founder of the Central Minnesota Tea Party, and thank you for allowing me to testify today. I am here for two reasons. First, I am a small business owner. My husband and I are self-employed. Daycare providers are also self-employed. They do not need protection from unsafe working conditions and do not have employers to negotiate with. All business owners have state and federal laws and regulations that they respect, but they are not government employees. If our elected representatives allow the forced unionization of self-employed daycare providers, where do you draw the line? Secondly, it is no secret
that the all-powerful unions want control of our children as early as possible. The unions, in coordination with the unconstitutional U.S. Department of Education, have already brought the performance of our K through 12 government schools to the bottom of industrial countries. But then, academics is not even included in our public schools' mission statements any longer. Being unsuccessful in forcing early child development programs, the next best thing is to control daycare. The unions have been very clear. They want control of our children, not K through 12, but birth through 12. I'm going to make a point here, so just bear with me. I have my school district's calendar 2009-2010. It tells a very sweet story, but you have to look at the underlying message. One of the special activities we do at the beginning and the end of each week at Mississippi Heights Elementary is to gather in the gym for liftoff. Our music teacher leads students and staff in a special Ubuntu chant to the beat of an African drum. Ubuntu, Ubuntu, I am because we are. I am because we are. Ubuntu. Of course, kids find that fun. We take up precious learning time by such fun exercises in indoctrination, teaching our children to be cooperative with the collective. This exercise would be easy with 3 and 4 year olds. It is easier to teach our children to be cooperative global citizens if they can influence our children closer to birth. If unions take over daycare businesses, they will implement a curriculum that will control when the children sleep, when they eat, and even what books may be read. Elected representatives have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Do not give an inch. Stand firm in the founding principles of freedom, liberty, and a free market system. Your job is not to enable control of a free people, but to guard against tyranny. We should not be here giving forced unionization credence. Minnesota should be a right to work state. Finally, do not give into corruption. The unions want to grow their numbers and they want additional funding promised through membership fees and dues. And if you think the cost will not go up, let's just look at K through 12. That cost does not go up, does it? Sarcasm intended. Work to get the union stranglehold out of our schools by making Minnesota a right-to-work state, but more importantly, do not hand our babies over to the control of this beast. Thank you.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Cindy Cunningham. I'm a licensed child care provider in Ramsey County and St. Paul for 15 years. I'm testifying against the efforts to unionize licensed family child care providers in Minnesota. I am not against unions. I am, however, against the union process that has taken place for licensed child care providers. I was approached in 2005-2006 regarding a union for child care providers, and I told the union organizers that I was not interested. I am still not interested for myself or for our industry as a whole. Many providers have been uninformed or misinformed regarding the unionization process. Many, like myself, cannot believe that this can happen. Until recently, it has not been a public process. All information regarding this topic has been disseminated by unions themselves. Commentary, it's only been until recently that a number of providers, many who are standing up here, including myself, have put out money from our own pockets to try to go against the unions. I personally have spent upwards of about $800 by sending flyers out to Ramsey County providers. Many providers did not know that any of this was even possible, that Governor Dayton was even considering an executive order. Was not public knowledge to providers. It was being stated publicly by union organizers that this was a done deal and that he would be signing this executive order. That was stated twice by union organizers in public settings. So as a provider, I don't know how I'm supposed to know what's happening when that's happening under that kind of a closed environment. So I sent out 650 flyers to providers and now have a number of providers in Ramsey County that are at least educated and aware. But we have all had to do it out of our pockets where the union has had union money to counter this. I believe that the situation has blurred boundaries of roles and responsibilities between elected officials, labor, and small business owners. In the current situation, an elected official is attempting to be in the position to determine that I not only have an employer, but who that employer is. I am an independent small business owner without an employer by choice. I work in a home-based business, not a center or an organization. I make business decisions. The union organizing effort has been in Minnesota for 6 years. The prospects of its reality has come and gone depending on who our elected officials have been. I have been fortunate in the past months to be working with other providers to stop this action. In 2008, with these other providers' involvement, Governor Plenty stated he would not sign such an order. Governor Dayton likely would have signed an order this year if pressure had not been placed on him by providers, the media, the House, and the Senate leaders. He has stated, for my understanding, for clarification, which is a big part of this whole problem as a provider, is that he has publicly stated that no, he won't sign a unilateral decision to unionize us. He is stating that, to our understanding, an executive order to allow us to vote. To be able to do that, he still, to my understanding, has to establish an employer-employee relationship. And again, I don't want an employer. And the Minnesota Bureau of Mediation has yet to been able to answer the question of whether that can even all take place. And to my understanding, they are in a position of not being able to talk to any of us regarding that piece. And that's a real critical piece that's missing in this whole process. I do not want to wonder when this possibility might come again. In another 15 states, elected officials have signed what I view as union agreements. As recently as a few weeks ago, Connecticut governor did sign another executive order for both licensed child care providers and in-home health care providers. The vast majority of providers I have talked with, specifically over the last 5 months, did not know this was possible. All union organizing efforts has been outside of all labor law process, its protection, and there is no right to decertify or to act against any of the organizing efforts that they have put forth. The lines become even more confused when a proposed benefit of this union is the ability by unions to negotiate child care assistance program rates. CCAP, as it is referred, is a welfare public policy benefit for families, not by business. It would be like Rainbow or Cub negotiating for WIC or food stamp programs. Families apply for the subsidy and then are given the financial support to shop for child care. This benefit is essential for families attempting to support their children by entering the workforce and educating their children for school readiness. This program very well needs changes made so that families can afford quality child care. The number of families served and the rates they are given is low. However, our business should not be the ones negotiating this rate. My business rate, what I get paid, is not what CCAP rates are set at. When a family interviews with myself and is utilizing CCAP dollars, we come to a financial agreement like any other business. If the CCAP rate is less than what my business fees are, the family makes the decision if they want to be in my business that they pay the difference. The guidelines we receive as providers spells the step out, and there appears to be an exception. If there appears to be an exception that we would charge the difference, not just accept what CCAP rates are set at. If I only received this rate and it were less than what my business practice is, I would then be choosing to be a charity, provide a portion of my services for free, essentially also becoming a welfare provider. As much as we are in the business to care for families and for children, we are first business owners and we have to make business decisions. I've heard people talking about not raising rates. I'm a business. I have to raise rates to cover it. I can't run a business. Any business that does not change the rates to keep up with current market expenses goes out of business.
Just cutting out the map desk.
Okay, I'm sorry. If the unions are established and affect rate change in public policy, then we as providers may be charged fair share dues. This has happened in most of the other states that have influenced CCAP. And in my opinion, then the unions are benefiting by changing welfare policy and changing welfare rates, and then they're charging the fair share due. So thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and then proceed.
June Seidel. I'm a licensed child care provider of Anoka County. I have been for 9 years. Labor unions in the United States are legally recognized as representatives of workers in many industries. The most prominent unions are among the public sector employees, which I am not a part of. Activity by labor unions in the United States today centers on collective bargaining over wages, benefits, and working conditions for their membership, and on representing their members if management attempts to violate contract provisions. I am my own management. So what could a union do for an in-home daycare? They cannot bargain with our clients on what they will pay us. They cannot force our clients to stay at our daycare.
what unsafe working conditions are really truly in our homes. As far as benefits go, I purchased my own individual health insurance, which was a lot less expensive than being pooled in with an employer's health care plan. I save money for my own retirement, which most employers do not contribute to for their employees anymore. The union is not offering any retirement benefits, vacation pay, or business stability. I am self-employed, and I have chosen to for the past 9 years. The reason I am self-employed is I take care of myself, I save for my retirement, I shop around for health care, I set my own rates and hour and vacation, which I am paid for. And when there are issues that affect licensing or regulation of daycares, I have my own voice and can state my own opinion. When in a union, your opinion is what the union believes, not what you agree to. I want to continue to have my own opinion heard. I want to continue to bargain my own rates, hours, and vacation pay. I also do not want my union dues to go to political parties that do not reflect my views. What kind of regulations are unions going to force upon me? I use a preschool curriculum with the kids. We have craft day, computer day, science day, and a licensed music therapist that comes in once a week. If other daycares in my area complain about this because they cannot compete with me, will I be forced to discontinue my quality of service I provide to the children and families? I am an entrepreneur, and the more I put into my business, the more my business thrives and the better it is for the children in my care. I do not want a union telling me what I can and cannot do with my own business. I am already regulated by state, federal, and county laws and the food program, and do not feel a union would be of any benefit in my daycare home. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Hello. My name is Mary Kazak, and I'm a licensed child care provider in Ramsey County, have been for 37 years. I'm also a member of Minnesota Licensed Family Child Care, MLFCCA, Ramsey County Family Child Care, and the National Association for Family Child Care. I love doing daycare. I started when my youngest was born. He's now 37, and so I'm still here, still doing it. I've been to graduations, weddings of some of my daycare children and get invited to parties. You know, it's a big family. I love what I do. I do not see where having a union come in and telling me what to do and paying dues. My husband is a union member. He has an employer. He gets benefits. It helps with the people that work under him. I am self-employed. I do not have an employer. I've done this for 37 years. The reason I'm here is I'm against unionization for family daycare. Some people here, my whole thing that has really made me want to come and speak was I hear people, mostly from the union, and I heard it tonight, that we do not have any support, that we do not have advocates, that no one is there for us. In Ramsey County, we had October 6th, there was an awards dinner for providers with 5, 10, 15, was given by Minnesota Licensed Family Child Care, resources for child caring, and our licensing workers helped to present it. They were all there, our county commissioners were there. So maybe we're the exception. If we are, thank goodness. But if there was a problem, and we have in a newsletter for our county, we have a corner, ask your licensor. It is the licensor's responsibility to get that information to us, and it sounds like somewhere the ball was dropped. It's also our responsibility as a provider to find out that information. Licensed child care are fortunate to have many associations and organizations in Minnesota that support and protect our interests. During legislative sessions, there is a group called Early Care and Education Legislative Update. It's a group of child care advocates that meet weekly to discuss the upcoming legislation issues that affect children in Minnesota. They prepare before they testify, advocating for children. Some of those members are Minnesota Licensed Family Child Care, Child Care Works, Minnesota Head Start, Minnesota Early Learning Foundation, Minnesota Child Care Association, which is for the centers, and also School Readiness and Ready for K. We do have advocates for us. We have many local associations. If you want to know, go to mlfcca.org. It is the state association website. You can go in there and go local associations. I've got a copy of it here. It is all the different associations. And there is a representative on the state board, I was looking, for Stearns County. So whoever from Stearns County needs it, and I've got their names if anybody wants to come and check. We need to be advocates for our business too, and we need to take the responsibility. If we're not getting the information that we need, then we need to go and find it out and make some noise and say, hold it, I needed to know this before. So it's a two-way street, but our licensors also need to be there to protect us and to give us information. So we've got all these great organizations and associations in place. Child Care Works will send you emails, get on their website, find out about your local associations, Minnesota License. I know I'm kind of going on, but one thing,
and
one.
We'll need to wrap it up.
Okay, one quick thing. Hennepin County Providers, which I happen to be friends with a few, of course, right in our area, they were having trouble with some licensing issues, let us say. So they went to their state association. They went to Minnesota Licensed Family Child Care. Katie Chase is the director. They went to her and said, listen, we've got some questions on the way licensing is going here in Hennepin County. Can you help us? They said, sure, they're our state association. They called in Department of Human Services. They also came in. And then they called in licensors from around the state. There is a committee that meets. It meets regularly to make sure that licensing requirements are carried out the same throughout the state of Minnesota. Now, I will say, even in Ramsey County, there are a couple licensors that have a little different issue sometimes with some of the little things. So there's always that, you know, with different people. But there is something in place. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Sutton. We have about 25 minutes. We will be wrapping this up at 8:40. I want to be real fair to both sides here. So please try to keep your comments brief and succinct. And please state your name for the record and then proceed. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Anna Pergola. I'm a licensed child care provider in Anoka County. I was licensed in 1978, so I've been doing it quite a while. As I have been listening tonight, I've been hearing people talking about they're not informed. As a provider, they're not informed. I've heard people say they're a member of all the associations. I also am a member of NASCHEC, MLFCCA, and the Anoka County Association. I've been a board member on MLFCCA as well as Anoka County. I have also recently been calling Senator Barbara Goodwin on this issue. We all have that right to call our representatives, and anyone who has a concern should be doing that, should be calling their senator or representative. I've been a married provider with my husband having the insurance for me. I've also been a single mom receiving no county pay, no child support from my husband, and I found a way to have insurance that was very good for myself, dental, glasses, and health, as well as life insurance. I see no reason for the union to be taking any of my money, because as a resourceful business person, a professional child care provider, I have taken care of myself. I'm a business person. That's my responsibility. I need to be informed. With the media the way it is today, if you're a member, you get a newsletter. If you like, you get email updates before your monthly. There's no reason that any provider in the state of Minnesota should be uninformed as to what's going on as far as their licensing goes. I was asked by two friends to make two statements tonight. As far as the unions coming knocking on our doors, that's been a very negative experience for at least three of us. I had to order the person off of my yard who came. Was very rude and disrespectful to my time and my time with my children. Another provider, her name is Heather, asked me to mention tonight that while she was in the hospital having her baby, the union rep knocked on her door. Her grandmother was watching her children, and the union rep said, well, just sign this piece of paper and we'll get her more information later. So she was uninformed. She received a letter, as did I, to attend the union meeting in Anoka County. When we arrived, we were told we could not enter the meeting unless we signed the sheet of paper that said we were in support of the union. Thus, we sat outside of the room that evening, and there were about 12 of us who came with invites and were not allowed into the room. If the unions wanted to inform us and enlighten us and invite us in, why were we not allowed into the room to ask our questions and get informed? We came, we were responsible, and we were turned away. And I want to thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Please step up to the microphone and state your name for the record and then proceed. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Patty Wilczek. I am not a licensed daycare provider, but I'm here as a mother who did need daycare occasionally through the years. And it is the personal relationship that you have with your daycare provider that is so important. And no union can get in the middle of that. And there is absolutely no reason for daycare providers to be unionized. If the people here that have gone before me have mentioned they want a voice. I think it's already been said there are plenty of voices, and we need to get in touch with the right people. And that is personal choice and personal accountability. No union can take that place. That's between you and the children you take care of. I also want to say that the demographic of people doing child care in their homes has been studied inside and out by unions. And they need fresh meat, and they want to cook this aspect of child care by unionization because they need money. And that is the bottom line for unionization of child care. It's the almighty dollar. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next speaker, please. State your name for the record, please, and then proceed. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Melanie Teschendorf, and I'm a licensed child care provider in Sherburne County. First of all, I just want to say that on both sides, I think what everybody has first and foremost on their minds is the kids. I think both sides that there should be no argument that kids come first here. I also want to say that I am against the union. And the reason being is I think that I've been a licensed provider for about 3 years. And the first I heard of the union was this summer when a couple of representatives came to my door. And I was actually outside with my kids at the time. I was very busy and I was very preoccupied with my kids. And I felt like they just pressured me. They were really, they didn't give me a lot of information. They were very vague in the questions that I asked them. And I just felt like they really were pressuring me to sign this card for more information. I refused to sign the card, and then they kind of got a little bit irate with me. And I just said, you know, I'm just really not interested. You know, please leave the card with me. And if I choose I want more information, I will send the card in. Well, they did leave me the card. I ripped the card up when I got home, or, you know, when I got in the house. But I'm not anti-union. I just don't choose to belong to a union. And I just think that I've been hearing the other side saying that, you know, we want a voice. But if the union goes through, I was told by the representatives of the union that came to my door that we would be forced to be part of that union. And to me, we don't have a voice then. We are allowing other people to, you know, make decisions on our part, and we have really no say in it. And I think Mary over here was saying that there is plenty of advocates for child care, and I believe that there really is. I have, you know, used those resources several times, and I don't know, that's just where I stand. I think that we're not given a choice, and I think that that's kind of the bottom line here. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next testifier, please state your name for the record and then proceed. Welcome.
My name is Heather Felt. Thank you, Mr. Sherry. Thank you, committee members. I've been a child care provider for 10 years in Cloquet, Minnesota, Carlton County. I heard of the union effort in 2005. I'm a Democratic. I go to the caucuses. I was excited about this. At the meeting, they talked about getting us health care, workman's comp, all sorts of benefits. They talked about the structure. When we were asking questions on how this would come about, who was going to give this to us, we're self-employed. A group of us were escorted out of the meeting, and we've had that experience. I did research then after that, looked at what was going on in other states. My thought process was, see what's happening. It's pretty consistent. They talk about our union will be different, it will be constructed by us, but in these 12, 15 states, it's pretty the same. There's minimum due, there's a fair share in states that that's the laws to pay the fair share.
If I could have you speak directly to the mic, that would be helpful. Apparently,
I'm short. It's short.
You bet it right up.
There you go. Sorry. I'll hold it.
try the group.
Okay.
There
you
go. All right. Good.
So in the states that fair share is part of the law, fair share is collected. I also, throughout this course of finding information, started talking to providers. And at the time, there was a big movement in St. Louis County, which is my neighboring county. I'm in Cloquet, it's 20 minutes away. And we started calling all the providers to see where they were standing, if they had gotten more information, what these cards were about, their membership cards.
are kind of from here than there now with the vote coming, but out of that, there was 300 letters we collected of people saying they were told it was just for some more information, and they still haven't gotten more information in that area. And as you've heard from other testifiers, if you do come and you're not willing to sign the membership card or support card, you're not allowed entry into asking these questions or these meetings. Fast forward to now, I did meet with Governor Plenty. He did guarantee this wouldn't, the executive order wouldn't happen. I don't think that we should be ordered a vote either. Mainly, we're self-employed. If they want to form a union, like a painter's union or a carpenter's union, where independent contractors can come and form, but to collectively bargain for all of us, I can advocate for myself. People have talked about the licensing fee. When this was coming up, I follow through the Minnesota Licensed Family Child Care Association. When policies are coming up that this was going to be an option, we went to our county commissioners and said, this is too big of a burden to place on us as business owners. The amounts they're asking for are too high. We don't have a licensing fee in my county. As child care providers, we got together. We met with our local representation. We had that seat at the table. This summer, when the shutdown was happening, I had 7 children out of my 12 on CCAP. It was scary. I chose to remain open, let the parents go to work, and hope for the best that in the end of it we would be deemed essential. That was my choice to do. So the parents could work. I thought the hope of maybe getting paid was better than guaranteeing not getting paid by shutting my doors. 15 organizations lobbied to get that deemed essential. They filed the suits. The union, SEIU, did jump on 3 days after we had filed our appeal. Theirs was turned down, ours had gone through. AskMe was nowhere to be seen, and not as far as I know. So we do have lots of organizations lobbying. Is it more for children? Yes, but I think that's everybody's concern. Subsidies, 30% of children on subsidies are in licensed home daycare, meaning 70% of our clientele are private pay. So when the union wants to claim that as our their collectively bargaining platform, and in the other states being where they get to deduct dues, I know I won't be forced to be a member, but under Minnesota law, fair share in a collectively bargained unit is expected. So I'll be forced to pay. I will turn that down onto my parents because I am capable of running my business without the help of a union. It's a cost that I didn't expect to take on. If I join MLFCCA for $35 a year, I don't pass that cost on because that was my choice as a business owner. But to have someone come in and take a percentage or a dollar amount out of my paycheck, I have a bottom line. My CCAP families pay me what I charge. My private pay families pay me what I charge. That's it. That's not our money. That's the family's benefit.
I'll have to ask you to wrap it up.
I oppose this, and I hope that you folks could come up with some way of protecting us from this in the future. Because every time we have a legislative change, going through this is horrible. The phone calls, the meetings, losing time from work, it's counterproductive to what we're doing. We just want to be left alone and do business in our homes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Take charge.
Hi, my name is Addie Clyde, and I do take charge of my business. Mr. Chairman and everyone on the committee, thank you. I've been a family daycare provider in Carleton County for 18 years. I consider myself an independent businesswoman. In those 18 years, I have had cost of living raises because it's a smart business move. If I want to stay in business, I need to plan for my business. I need to know what I'm doing, and I need to be on top of things. So I've had cost of living raises. I have had a seat at the table. I've testified many times, and I feel like that, hey, that's what you're there for, and you listen. And there are many organizations that tell us what's going on. We know what's going on. And so then we can step up to the plate and say, but we do it ourselves. It's our business. And I cut a lot out so I can get moving for you guys. We had the union claimed that 420 people in St. Louis, or providers in St. Louis County, was for the union. a group of us in Carleton County did an independent telephone call where we just called every 480 providers. Our question was, are you for or against or undecided, period. Out of that, there were 28 individuals that were for the union. Out of that were for the union, there that included the undecided ones and people that could not be reached and the people who were for the union. That's a far cry from the 420 that they say that they have. I am against paying fair share for something that I consider illegal. I'm an independent businesswoman, and I do not see any place in my life for that. I and many of my fellow daycare providers do not want anything to do with the union. We do not wish to have daycare unionization. I, along with a majority of daycare providers in the state of Minnesota, are asking you as a legislative body to stop Governor Dayton from making an executive order to pursue a vote for daycare providers, because I consider it illegal. We are independent business people, not employees of any business or any government agent. I am proud to be an independent woman, and I want to maintain my independence. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. We have just about exactly 10 minutes left.
Okay, I'm short and sweet.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your
name. Good evening, Mr. Chair. It's a Monday, a day for me to be sitting on the floor with my 14.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
I'm sorry. Addie jumped ahead of me.
You're ready to go. That's good.
I'm Judy Sanda from Cloquet, Minnesota. Monday was a day for me to be sitting on the floor with my 14 little ones playing. At the moment, it is quiet time, so rather than taking a few minutes for a bite to eat, I am here at the computer sending these never-ending testimonies. I've been doing in-home daycare for over 32 years. I have a college degree and manage two exclusive women's stores in Duluth. I decided to give that up when I found my true calling in helping parents raise their children. I have never regretted one minute of that decision. We have had over 300 children come through our doors. Nearly all of the 300 left happy and still greet us when they run into us. I've never needed the union to help me do any of my negotiations or paperwork. I am very satisfied with our inspectors and licensing directors. Perhaps those union supporters cannot say the same. Our support group meets monthly, and when something needs changing, we work together to make those changes happen. I have made so many calls and sent so many emails that never have reached the governor's ears. It appears that he does not care. Perhaps the 11,000 providers would not be enough to support his next campaign. We in Carleton County have worked on this for over 5 years. Every time we think the unions have let this thing go, they come from behind and just try to sneak their ugly heads back in the back door. I am not now, nor have I ever been, a union supporter for in-home daycare. My daycare parents are not union supporters and have sent many letters to Mr. Dayton as well. We have taken the time off once again to be here at this meeting. We travel from northern Minnesota to represent the northern half of the state. Am I angry? Yes, I am. Am I going to give up? No. The unions have met the match.
Thank you for your testimony. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Holly Sable. 2 weeks. Good evening, Mr. Chair, esteemed representatives. My name is Holly Sable, and I've been a licensed family child care provider in St. Michael for the past more than 6 years. I'm also president of the Wright County Family Child Care Association, and I'm a mentor and trainer for early childhood educators. I'm here to urge you to prevent the unionization of family child care providers. I've worked and taught in schools for more than 20 years, but I left a corporate center to own my own business so that no one else could be my boss. So I could care for kids in the way that my education and experience taught me was best. We already have more than adequate regulations to protect children and families in our care, covering every detail of our home construction and environment to the care activities and equipment we provide. They are there to protect children and their families, but they are by no means burdensome or unreasonable. We do not need another organization looking to influence regulation, as individual providers and organizations have successfully lobbied our legislature and licensing to change regulations for everyone's benefit. If I have concerns about licensing, I can work within the system as an individual to change them. I can talk directly with licensors, their supervisors, county boards, our legislators, the Department of Human Services. I don't need a union to speak for me. And if I want to be respected as a professional, which I think most of us want to be, and we complain about being called babysitters, and thankfully for their health, no one has ever called me a babysitter. But if we want to be considered professionals, then we need to speak up. I am my own worst enemy if I don't speak up. You know, if I don't go out of my way to find organizations. I think it should be pointed out that some people have complained that Stearns County doesn't have a representative for them. I'd like to point out that there's a paid union employee who is their representative on the MLFCCA board and is also their representative in the Stearns-Benton County Child Care Association. So I think that needs to be pointed out. You know, I already have a voice and a seat at the table. I'm here, right? You should know that AFSCME and SEIU also represent our licensors and social workers, depending on which county they're in. I think that's a conflict of interest. I think it'd be kind of ironic to watch them running back and forth between both sides of the table. I don't understand how they can claim they'll represent our grievances if they're representing them. We set our own schedules, hours, wages, holidays, policies, etc. We provide all the supplies and equipment. We are essentially independent contractors. The federal laws and the courts have upheld that independent contractors and domestic workers are excluded from unionization. We are fortunate to already have many local, nonprofit, and voluntary organizations working for our unique needs and interests. A lot of people have already listed them, so I won't go into them. But I'd like to point out that as president of the Wright County Family Child Care Association, I represent more than 450 licensed family child care providers. Not one provider in all of my many, many emails that I have sent has said, you know, I'm very much in favor of unionization. I've received tons of emails saying, thank you very much for speaking up for us. I can't be there tonight. You know, my mom has Alzheimer's. You know, we have a family member who's sick. Thank you very much for being here. For only $35 per year, we offer free monthly trainings, free conferences, networking opportunities, referrals, and mentoring for family child care providers. Volunteers, our members, drive our organization and share their suggestions and concerns freely, knowing that we will listen and make changes democratically. I wanted to point out some facts about in other states. Providers have not been given, in any of those 15 states, workman's comp or state-funded pension, or any pensions for that matter. Healthcare coverage has only been allowed, given in three of those 15 states, with Washington, Illinois, and New York. In two of them, you're required to have children on subsidy. And in Washington, it's four children on subsidy. In Illinois, you have to be income eligible. And the care in all three of those states is only for the provider, not for their spouse, not for their own children. The money would not stay here in Minnesota, not all of it, at least $7 to $8 a month would go to the national union. That would have no effect on Minnesotans. In Illinois in 2006, trying to touch on the cost issue. In Illinois in 2006, that was the first year of their union contract, rates skyrocketed 35%. Now, in the 6 years I've done child care, I've never touched my rates. That's my own personal choice. But am I running out of time? I'm sorry.
You are. We've got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay, no problem. I'm sorry. I will be done. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Leo Busateri. I live in St. Cloud. I am a grandfather, and I'm also a union member. My son and his wife, they are having a really difficult time, but they have lower wage jobs. They're just starting out in life. They have two kids. They have daycare. And right now, they're just scraping by, just enough to pay daycare and just enough to left over for expenses and everything. They can't afford another rise in their daycare, and despite what the people in here say, I know a lot of providers are going to pass along their costs on to the consumers, and I don't blame them. They have a business to run. They have to pass along their costs. And I've heard some people testify for the unionization of child care workers, and for the life of me, I have not heard a compelling argument for it. And it is my opinion, that unionization of child care workers will not benefit parents, will not benefit children, will not benefit the child workers. Unionization of child workers will benefit the unions. And up the union rolls, and I think that's why the union is for it. I think it's my opinion that's why the union is here tonight. And that's why union representatives are here tonight. And I would urge those elected representatives that we have here, thank you very much for coming out. I would urge if any kind of a vote came up to please vote against it. And thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Pistori. I would point out again, as Representative Hosh has pointed out, there is no legislative proposal before us to vote on. At this time, I would ask if there is anybody else who wants to speak in favor. We'd have about 30 seconds, against it, against the organization. We have about 30 seconds. I want to give full and fair time here. Okay.
Should I come back in line?
Go right ahead. Step up to the mic. You've got about 20 seconds.
Mr. Chairman, there's somebody else.
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody, you've already testified?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? Okay.
No, I haven't.
Okay, step up and state your name for the record.
Good evening, Sir Chair. My name is Kelly Romano, and I am currently the president of the Licensed Child Care Providers of Anoka County. As a nonprofit organization, to date, we are taking a neutral stance because of an overall vote, if you will, throughout all of our members. I am here this evening because I have also been, unfortunately, harassed, and it started about 5 years ago when it was door knocking. And again, they came back a couple weeks later. It has happened when my children were out, or my daycare friends were out there. I have been told, and I was also invited to the meeting on June 20th to get more information. Of course, I was turned away. If I was just trying to gain more information, that's all I was trying to do. I just want to say, in short, that again, there are so many resources available. Please tap those resources. I do not believe.
Ms. Romano, we'll have to ask you to wrap it up.
I'm finishing my sentence, thank you. I can't see any place for the union and child care providing.
Thank you for your testimony. And I want to thank everybody who came tonight, regardless of what your position is on this issue. I want to thank you for coming out and participating in the public process. It's vitally important to all of us here as legislators and committee members. Who have to deal with these issues down at the state legislature. So I genuinely want to thank all of you for that. At this time, committee members, I'd like to open it up for discussion among us. We do need to be done by 9 o'clock, and that's not just us. The county workers who open this building and keep it open want to make sure that we're out of here by 9 o'clock. So we'll continue with dialogue until then. Representative Murphy and then Representative Fritz. Specific questions on that document. It was prepared by nonpartisan research.
Yes.
It was presented as we said we would at the beginning, and if we had a representative from each side now rebut or reinforce each of those positions, we would be here till 10 o'clock tonight. We had already stated that the format this evening would include discussion among committee members. I think if you have specific questions that we can answer later, maybe we could do it that way, but I think to have them come up and rebut at this point would be counterproductive. Yes, Representative Murphy.
Yeah, I want to be respectful of the time, but I'm not interested in rebuttal. I just feel like there should be
perceptions about what the governor can and can't do, and perceptions about what the cards are. And I don't know, I just feel like I'm not looking for rebuttal, I'm just looking for some clarification. Because I don't think we should leave here tonight with people walking away with different perspectives of where we are in time and what's possible. So if you want to wait to the very end and give it like 1 minute tonight, I'm happy to do that to give the committee members time. I just want to make sure everybody's walking out with accurate information.
Okay. Representative Murphy, perhaps if you have specific questions about the information that's been shared, we could ask staff to respond. I think that would be appropriate. So, I mean, if there are things that you feel are inaccurate in the information that's been given to the committee, I think it's appropriate to ask that question.
Yeah.
Representative Murphy.
For the staff. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's listening.
If there are cards collected that are the subject of an election, what happens next?
Danielle?
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I think there's a process that the Bureau of Mediation Services has to go through that's laid out in statute, and I don't know exactly right now what that process is, but I can certainly talk to our employment expert and get back to the committee on that.
Thank you, and Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
The reason why I think it's important to ask the question is because there are people that testified tonight with concerns about the validity of the cards. And as I understand a union election, there is a process to validate those cards, right? There, and it is a public process, Bureau of Mediation Service. So I don't want people to walk away believing that there isn't a way to validate those cards in an election process. I mean, one of the things that is important about unions, from my perspective, is the fact that the people that are subject to the union coverage get to make the decision, not us, right? So you have to have faith that the cards are going to be validated. And I'm worried tonight that there are a lot of people in the audience that are concerned about the validity of the cards. So I just want to make sure we are clear that there's a process for that, so that when the people who are potentially subject to the union vote, is an authorized process under law. So I'm just trying to validate that. I'm getting a nodded head down.
Appreciate that clarification, Representative Murphy. I would point out, too, much of the testimony we heard tonight, I took extensive notes on two sides of the sheet of paper here along with the recorded testimony. Most of what I heard about the cards was more about the process of visiting homes and requesting, and we heard some concern from people about that process. I think it's fair to take that testimony. I didn't hear a lot of questions or comments about the process for validating the cards in case of an election, but I appreciate the clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fritz was next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first of all, I'm overwhelmed by the passion and dedication here of all of you on all sides of this. I learned a lot tonight. Thank you very much for coming. And I've been in the legislature a while, and I serve on the when I first got elected, I served on early childhood and heard and learned a great deal. And so this is an ongoing education for me. So thank you for coming. But again, I also have been a union member for many years myself and did sign a card probably 40 years ago as a nurse in the nursing home industry, where, of course, they thought then that they didn't need a union and it wouldn't be necessary. However, in all of those years, I do want to say personally that I do, and I did see the care improve, the quality of care improve to those residents. And I look at the children, and I see the love and the dedication. I mean, you are there day and night. Your life is not your own anymore. It's the children's, and that's wonderful. And I hope that whatever happens here, we will continue along that line. And we'll, in the legislature, we'll continue to hear from you. Because I've heard two things tonight, and I think we all have. First of all, on the incident that the woman talked about that didn't get informed or a notice out because of the shutdown. And I'm sure that did happen. And in other parts of the legislature, we also heard that people were uninformed or not given that information in a timely manner, as Representative Kiffmeyer mentioned. And we need to take that back, and I can assure you that we will. And we will talk to those people in those departments. And also, the ongoing problem, or not problem, but the ongoing signing of your union cards and the validation that Representative Murphy is referring to of those cards, because those are an important document to the people that have signed them. So going forward from here tonight, I think when we bring this down to the level that we have, we need to look at those cards. Where are those cards? When will those cards? And who will decide the validation of those cards? And we've heard now that the Bureau of Mediation and should be involved in that. And as a long-standing union member myself, I do see the issue all around. And there are some interesting facts that do need to be ironed out and worked out. So I'm hoping that when we leave here that Mr. Chairman, we will bring that back. And Commerce is meeting tonight on the same issue in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, a stake in this, a strong stake in it, as we all do, to do the right thing for our kids and for all of us. So I do thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank all of you again for coming. And keep coming back, because at the legislature, we need to hear from you. And now you may think that you called or you emailed your representative, but you need to sometimes follow up on that a whole lot more. Because guess what? 40,000 people like to call us about things, and it isn't just the Vikings. We listen, we care. And thank you again for all that you do.
Thank you, Representative Fritz. I would just remind committee members, we have about 10 minutes left. I've got Representative Kiffmeyer, Representative Barrett, Representative Doubt, Representative Franson, Representative Hush, were you asking to be recognized? Or?
Before the end of the...
Okay, very good. We'll have you on the list. So, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
He wants the last word.
The one thing in my hearing from these, from our providers tonight is, wow, don't mess with them. They are business people who have to work very, very hard, and your presentations, each of you, especially on your own time, really impressive. And I think the one thing, Mr. Chairman, that, and all the resources, I was impressed too. I didn't know that, so it was really helpful to know all those resources, all the way up north and east and west and south. That's good. But in regards, I have two questions, Mr. Chairman. One is on the cards have a presumption that somehow there's an ability to unionize. And I think the questions that I'm hearing tonight from our citizens coming forward is questioning that whole presumption. And if so, are cards even valid in regards to the fact of the labor relations and a variety of other things, that they're not employees? That's very different. The nursing home people are clearly employees, and that's a whole different thing. So I would like to see if maybe we can get a little information about that as to even doing that. And then the other thing I heard was the question that some people feel is that they may have signed those cards and didn't really know, and they're wondering, can they get their card back? What can they do about that? Can they rescind that? But I think the first presumption is a card even the legitimate tool in this particular situation to begin with, whether it's validated or so on?
And just so committee members know, a good question, Representative Kiffmeyer. Ms. Pinelli is taking down notes about these questions, and we will get information back to the committee members with clear answers to those questions. So I appreciate the questions from Representative Murphy and Representative Kiffmeyer and any others that we might have around this. We want to make sure we get accurate information to the committee members as we discuss this.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might, Ms. Pinelli might need some other advice as well. But I thought that her background here just gave a lot of good information, but I think that those are two areas that I think I hear the citizens asking that they would like to know about. All right, thank you.
And in the interest of full disclosure, this was prepared by House House Research and presented by Ms. Pinelli. Mm-hmm. So a number of people had input into this document.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a couple questions on a different topic related to child care, but the information about the card struck me as being so important, and I need to follow up on that. I think I'm under the impression now that I wasn't 5 minutes ago that people who signed a card some point in the last 2 years, someone will use that card for a yes vote on a potential union vote.
Yes.
And if that's true, I would be very concerned about that, because that's not what voting is in our country.
They said it was information.
And so we need to find out much more about that process and whether some signature that someone gave to some unknown person at some time in their life will now be used in the future to have them vote yes on some kind of union vote.
Okay, that question has been noted, and we'll get clarification on that as well. Representative Delft, and Representative Franson, and Representative Hosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, I'm not normally a member of this committee, but I thank you for indulging those of us who are on the Commerce Committee who live closer to St. Cloud. I know many of your members are in
you
Rochester,
are welcome, Representative.
Rochester, so thank you for that. My one comment to all of you on both sides of this issue is I can see from the passion in the room that our kids are in good hands, so for that I thank you, all of you, and I mean that sincerely. To Representative Kipmeyer's question, we were just able to, through the use of technology, pull up the union's website, and we found a little question and answer session with the name of Denise Welty. I don't know if she's here yet. Is there a Denise Welty here? No. Anyways, and it goes through all these questions. And one of the questions was, if providers request their card back after certification, can they still get their cards back? And if the cards are returned, does that change the certification count? Her answer to that was no to both questions. No. And even if they do get them back, it doesn't change the count. So once the card is signed, to me that's very, very troubling, especially since we've heard countless numbers, and I probably should have gone through my notes and paid attention to the number of people tonight that said that they were asked to sign these cards to get more information. And what I can see from this website is that it's apparent that the cards would show an intent to join the union, much like Representative Barrett said. So that to me is troubling. Other questions that I would have, Mr. Chairman, and maybe somebody in the future could provide these answers. I thought from testimony that it appeared that people could join these unions voluntarily now. So I guess I wonder what the reason for moving this further is. I still don't know the answer to the question, who will the union negotiate with? It appears to me that these are independent business owners, so I'm still very unclear on that question. And then also wondering if the purpose of this is to collect the dues on the CCAP payments. And not sitting on this committee, some of this stuff is new for me, so I apologize about my ignorance on this, but those are a few of my questions. Thank you.
Very good questions. And again, we are keeping track of these. We will get answers to the committee members. Representative Franson, Representative Hosh, Representative McDonald, we have about 4 minutes. Lightning round.
thanks, Mr. Chair. It's really too bad that Ms. Welty isn't here and she's being paid quite lucrative by the union, $74,314 to help organize against child care providers. Is Sandy Cross in here?
Yeah, she's here.
Mr. Chair, we should really keep this conversation here. And
well, she's being paid $62,481 to help organize child care providers. When I've been speaking to providers, and I've been speaking to them all over the state, I used to be a child care provider. I was a child care provider for 4 years up until I got elected into office. And so I've been used numerous times on issues that have come up in the state because I do know the business inside and out. But when I have been canvassing people on this issue, it is a no. They do not want to join a union. So when the organizer comes up to the door, it is that coercion that is happening. Sign here for more information. I see that you're busy with children. We don't want to take up your time. We'll get you information that you are looking for. And there they go. And that actually happened to my own child care provider. She was taking care of the children. I came up and picked up, and she said, the union is at my door. And I said, well, you didn't sign anything, did you? And she goes, I did. I signed for more information. And when she heard that what she had done was, in fact, sign herself to join the union, she was shocked, and she is still trying to get her card back. And now knowing on this website that she is unable to do so is very startling. So I suggest to the organizers in the room that we better get a little professional. We want real people that want to join the union so that we can get an accurate head count. Because really, it's making the unions look really bad. And ultimately, it's going to lead to a right to work.
Thank you, Representative Francie. We have 2 minutes left. And if there is time right at the end, there was kind of a calling out here of a couple of people. And I did commit that we could let somebody respond very briefly from SEIU, just because those people were not in the room. Representative Hosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I wanted to commend, for the most part, how I think dignified that this hearing was and the respect that was provided from both sides, because this is a emotional, personal issue. And I want to thank the child care providers for the work you do that I could never do. The hardest thing I've done in my entire life was dropping my son off to child care. And I walked away in tears because I did not know what I was leaving my son to. And it's been a wonderful blessing for our family to not only have a great child care provider, but a friend that has been added to our family. So I want to thank you for the respect that you've shown from both sides. I just want to, from my understanding, make a couple clarifications, and this is just from the document that was provided all the committee members.
Got about
one,
a minute.
Yep. Federal law prohibits dues or other fees from being deducted from federal child care development fund resources. That's federal law. And this is in our document provided by nonpartisan members. And also that the Bureau of Mediation Services, on a preliminary assessment, and they can't do a final assessment until all the facts are in front of them, but they believe that private, self-employed, home-based child care providers would most likely not fall under the jurisdiction of any of our laws, and that they're neither public employees nor employees of a single employer. And I wanted to just clarify that. Thank you for coming. And if you want to spend money just a little west, go right ahead. That's right.
No. Just keep it right here. Keep it right here in our district. I'll go over to his district. Okay. Representative McDonald, and you've got about 60 seconds. Lightning round.
Thank you, Representative Godwell, Chairman. Because of the lack of time, I will make this brief. I'll just say that there'll be ample time to speak at another committee, in which I'll express my dissatisfaction with the way the card was signed, and I'll have an opportunity to speak against the utilization of the date.
Okay, very good. I will allot briefly, Representative Murphy, you had mentioned that somebody was here who could speak to the two people who were kind of mentioned about their salaries and so forth. But if that person, supervisor, is here, wants to comment briefly on it, 15-second response would be great.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. I want to be fair about this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please state your name for the
record. My name is Brian Elliott. I'm the executive director of SEIU, Minnesota State Council. One of the reasons that Ms. Welty is not here tonight is in part because there is a simultaneous hearing happening at this very time in Rochester. And since that is where Ms. Welty resides, she is busy attending that hearing to make sure that we have representation in both places this evening. And just very quickly, the union facts, I believe, is probably the source of the information about salaries. That information, first of all, is not representative of the base salary of individuals. That reflects all of the benefits, retirement, etc., that all individuals receive. So I just want to be very clear about that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to make just a brief closing comment, mainly to thank you all. I want to echo what several of the other committee members said about the work that you all do. Whether you're supporting unionization or opposed to it, the provision of daycare to our children across the state of Minnesota is a tremendous service, a tremendous calling, and I know so many of you have dedicated so much of your lives to it, and I want to thank you. And I think our committee members could join me in a round of applause. For with that, this hearing is closed. Thank you very much for being here.